This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Artificial intelligence, AI, dominating the story on Wall Street, and as I understand it, dominating the story on all the major businesses growing into the future. Everybody's wowed by details. At the center of this, of course, is a competition between what we know about Silicon Valley, now called Artificial Intelligence Valley, AI Valley, and the People's Republic of China. I welcome Brendan Weikert of the National Interest, also writes for Popular Mechanics, to guide me through a story that came up in London these last days. It goes like this. Huawei is building a production line for advanced chips as part of a network semiconductor facilities in Shenzhen that seeks to break China's dependence on foreign technologies. Brandon, here we go again. I have an article from the Wall Street Journal 2016 that identifies a project underway. It names several companies in league with the Cypress Semiconductor of the U.S., building a plant in Wuhan. Mm-hmm. 2016, this is before we'd heard Wuhan associated with pandemics. Wuhan, and they'd poured something like $24-25 billion into it, and that they were going to make chips that were competitive with the U.S. That was nearly 10 years ago. And as I understand, the project was a disappointment. So Huawei is now announcing the same thing boldly, including satellite imagery obtained by the FT shows the Guanlan factories built in the same distinctive style as earlier factories in other parts of China manufacturing chip making. Is it different this time, Brandon? Is China finally locked in on the high end? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. Yes, I think it is different this time. Back in 2016, China was still very much developing capacities. When they announced it, they did not have what they do today. They also weren't under the proverbial gun as they are today. Obviously, now the tech war has been going on pretty much since 2018. They've been strangled from having, or they've been denied access from having these very high-end chips that are produced in countries like Taiwan, and it's strangling and stymieing their ability to do full-bore AI development. So for them, this is both economic and a national security imperative. And as that FT article highlights, it's really quite unprecedented the scale at which this this project, I believe it's at Guanlang, it's unprecedented the scale that they're engaged in. I do think they will be successful. Their goal is to develop, for instance, 7-nanometer chips indigenously. I think they can do that.
What went wrong in 2016 was a whole lot of money and a whole lot of haste. And
yeah.
Also, no attention to quality control and no competition. Now, Brendan, we've talked about this. The Chinese are good competition for us, but internally, they do not have competition. This is clearly a state-influenced enterprise, if not state-owned. So 7-nanometer is good, very good. Have they got everything in place to be quality good? We don't know that answer, do we?
We don't. The only way we're going to know that is when they start mass producing products that, you know, have that system involved, the 7-nanometer or smaller. Now, you'll remember about a year or two ago, I think it was BYD, the electronic vehicle, the EV manufacturer, they were claiming, one of the electronic vehicle manufacturers over there was claiming they had gained access to 5-nanometer chips. That has never been confirmed. But the point is, we do know that China is steadily moving toward the ability to have 7-nanometer, eventually 5-nanometer chips, because if they don't, they will lose the tech race. And for them, this is an existential issue.
Let's come to what we know about AI Week. For example, ChatGPT, which is the high end, the one that was introduced in 2022, decided not to become a for-profit corporation. Another thing that happened in these last days is that Eric Schmidt, who is famous for having participated early on in the Google miracle of advertising, mm-hmm. is now commenting on the electricity demand that will be needed in the future. I believe he's associated with the idea of putting power plants in space where we can gain electricity without, challenging the environment. At the same time, Eric Schmidt has made remarks about China and the competition from China. What is his measure of Huawei? With the caveat that there's no transparency here. There's a lot of assumption from a very well-informed man, Eric Schmidt. What's he said?
Basically, he's confirming what I've been worried about, which is that at the very least, because of their ability to scale projects, China is keeping pace with the U.S. And in fact, he's worried they might actually be pulling ahead of us. And that's partly also because of the way we have regulatory environment in this country, holding back things like energy production. And this is, you know, his report, he really gets into, he's been saying these sorts of things for the last year and a half. What he said recently is sort of a rehash of it. Now, his calls, I believe he was calling for space-based solar power, which is a key element in my book, Winning Space. That is a major factor. That is probably the only renewable energy source that could help to sustain the power demands of AI. So traditional solar, traditional wind, these won't help. But the Chinese, by the way, according to my colleague, Dr. Jim Rice of NASA, Dr. Rice told me in 2020 that the Chinese were beating the Americans in the development of space-based solar. And obviously, we see how that's going to play into AI.
We come to Huawei is involved in projects that aim to develop alternatives to technology from chip designer NVIDIA, equipment maker ASML, memory chip maker SK Hynix, and contract manufacturer Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. In other words, they've picked out the highest end supply chain that now underway, and they say they're going to imitate it. How do they do that?
They're also involving themselves through third parties and intermediaries. Remember, they're still absorbing a lot of high-tech practices and materials. Even though they're sanctioned, a lot of these firms are going in as subsidiaries, in some cases getting it under the table. So there's a lot of nefarious activity going on by China to try to glean how we're doing things in the supply chain and then replicate it. But again, I do think if the Chinese need it enough, they'll probably be able to replicate this.
And throwing scale at it.
That's the key. Well, when they're with all that manufacturing capacity in-house, they can basically replicate what the Americans or Europeans are doing and then just outproduce that product, drive the cost down so that Western firms can't compete. And then basically they're the only ones left in town to sell this stuff and the world becomes dependent on them. This is what they did with the solar panel industry. This is why Solyndra went under.
And right now your measure is that Schmidt has identified a problem. Or is it a problem? Is competition still good for us?
Well, competition is good in the sense that it's going to force Western firms to do things even more efficiently than they do, right, and to actually not overcharge people. I think a lot of Western firms doing AI, they're spending way too much money on this. They're not being efficient with their dollars. So competition from China in that way will force them to become more efficient. However, the Chinese are going to steal whatever they produce. That's not good.
Brandon Weicker, National Interest.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,